Welcome back to the You Are Covered podcast. I'm Hannah Lynn Miller, your host. I am so glad that you are joining me today. We're going to talk about a lot of things. First off, we're going to talk about peace. But I decided not to reinvent the wheel, and we're going to go through this book. It's called Breath as Prayer, and I'm obsessed with this. This is something that I think that all of my clients are going to be, I'm going to be recommending this to all my clients. I'm going to give this to all my friends. Like, this has been so helpful for like my prayer time. And I just think that it's a great tool for putting more peace into your life. Biblical peace, by definition, biblical peace is something that you can have during storms, during hard seasons, during loneliness, during emotional pain and heartache. You can have peace in your life because of what Christ has done for us, and that we have a friend in Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit is walking alongside of us, and we can have that kind of peace. And listen, I am in this season. I've said this a couple of times, but I am in the season where I need peace every single day. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. My previous job, it was very energetic. I didn't need a whole lot of calm or peace. I just needed to show up and laugh a little. But this job as a counselor, you really have to self-regulate. And so I can't really come into sessions feeling panicky and stressed out. And, you know, this happened last week. I had a conflict with a friend. And this might be pertaining to you if you have a helping career or a helping job, or if you have kids that you are watching and trying to be present for, or if you, you know, you're married. So many of our day-to-day life can happen where we really just need the presence of the Holy Spirit and peace in our lives, because sometimes conflict happens. And I think if you have any kind of job that is emotional or more relational than others, conflict in your personal life can really affect how you show up for others in your career and your job. And I definitely felt that. I, you know, as a counselor, you're sitting a couple of hours with a client in front of you, and on a pretty normal day, I'll have five or six clients that I'm seeing, and that doesn't include meetings. So that's 5 or 6 hours of sitting in front of a client. And so I had a friend message me and say, "Hey, I really need to talk to you about something." And it's okay when a friend does that, and I'm okay with that. But I could tell from the tone, you know, when somebody texts you and you're like, "Oh, they need to talk about something serious. It'll probably be something hard or some kind of conflict." And that's okay. I totally welcome that. But it is hard, so hard, to go into a counseling session and multiple after that when you've got, you know, some personal things going on, like a conflict with a friend or a spouse. And it can be challenging. I'm not going to lie. That's why, man, finding peace and being able to experience that in your life, no matter what is going on, is so crucial and so important. And, you know, maybe a lot of you are in ministry and you feel that, like, I don't know, pastors, ministry leaders, youth pastors, if you're in any kind of children's ministry, or you're dealing with family and you're dealing with talking to parents of kids, like, there is a lot of conflict that you may find yourself in the middle of, and it can be exhausting. And so going into those types of conversations is so important, to have this inner peace that you know will not change depending on what that person says to you or what the conflict is. And so I'm just going to do this exercise with you for our devotional. I'm so glad you're here with me, by the way. It is later at night, and I wanted to get this podcast out to you and connect with you. So thanks for clicking on this podcast, whatever time of the day you are joining me and showing up today. But I'm going to read this. Again, this book is by Jennifer Tucker. It's Breath as Prayer, Calm Your Anxiety, Focus Your Mind, and Renew Your Soul. And you know that I just love these tools that kind of integrate theology along with therapy. Like, I think it's so helpful, especially for those of us who find that faith is very, very important in our lives. Okay, so this is going to be a breath exercise, but first I'm going to read the devotional to you. You can be filled with joy. Breathe deep and know that God is the source of hope, and He can fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him. What are you filled with today? Is it fear or anxiety filling your mind and heart? Or are you full of peace? And I'm fairly certain we'd all choose being filled with joy and peace over fear and anxiety any day. But it often seems impossible to make that shift on our own. And honestly, it is impossible. Willpower alone is not enough to be able to release fear and be filled with joy. We can't always force ourselves to stop feeling anxiety and be filled with peace, because often anxiety is as much a physical health condition as it is a mental one. Breathing exercises can help to calm the body and relieve some of the physical effects of fear and anxiety. But breathing alone does not fill us with joy and peace or give us confident hope. Only God can do that. So breathe deeply. Thank God for tools to address your anxiety and ask Him to meet you there and to bring joy and peace to your heart today. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 15:13. I'm going to read that verse again. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with the confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Love that. All right, so we're going to do these breathing exercises. And again, this is just something that really is physical. It really does calm your heart. And so we get to do that. It's physical, as in it calms your brain and it calms your body and also then your soul, right? So breathe in with me. Inhale, God of hope, I trust you. Exhale. Fill me with joy and peace. Inhale, God of hope, I trust in you. Exhale. Fill me with joy and peace. God of hope, I trust in you. Exhale. Fill me with joy and peace. All right. I hope that was helpful to you. I definitely think it was for me. And again, that verse is Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. Hey friends, real quick, I want to tell you that I am doing a series on dating on my newsletter. You can find the link down in the description. What you're going to find is all kinds of resources, helpful quizzes, things that will help you understand and know yourself more. You know, I'm all about that, understanding who you are and what you believe. I want to help you. And this is what this newsletter series is going to do. So all you have to do is click on that link down below, drop your email, and you will get so many amazing resources on relationships. It will bless you and you will enjoy it so much. So find that link down in the description and subscribe to the Inside Out newsletter. So I want to read this article. It is by Glossy, and this is some of the things that Rent the Runway is doing. It is a partnership with Amazon Fashion centered on selling both used rentals and new unworn pieces from its design collective line, on the marketplace. The Design Collective, first announced by Rent the Runway in 2018, has so far functioned as a house label. It's made in partnership with designers and incorporates Rent the Runway data on what its renters like. So they're using the same data. Rent the Runway is exclusively offered new Design Collective styles for rental before later offering the worn styles for sale. While Rent the Runway was not able to confirm whether the company has plans to produce seasonal Design Collective collections or to extend the range to other retailers, it confirmed that the Amazon partnership represents demand for Rent the Runway products beyond its own community. And in 2021, June of 2021, Rent the Runway expanded the sale of its used rentals to shoppers beyond its members. So in July 2020, it launched a partnership with ThredUp. So if you don't know what ThredUp is, it is a thrifting app that I've used and I really enjoy it to sell its secondhand styles to the ThredUp community. It launched a resale specific partnership with Saks OFF 5TH in July 2022. So I think we all thought that renting the wardrobe sounded nice. You know, it was going to be it would help with minimalism. But it sounds like the market is just not like it used to be. And I don't know if it's because of 2020 and people not going places or what, but that is what is going on in the fashion news for this week. And if you want to read the whole article, it will be in the show notes. When I tell you we are on the struggle bus, we are on the struggle bus. I cannot get my camera to be straight. It is crooked. You know, I really hate it when podcasters are like super real about how their equipment is failing them. Usually, and you know, I love YouTube and I love podcasting, so I listen to a lot of it, and so I sometimes get really irritated. So I am sorry that I'm totally doing that, but I need to vent to someone, okay? Now we're gonna go into our segment about codependency, and I just ran a whole group today. I'm extremely tired because of that. I saw like 4 clients, and then I did a whole group on codependency. So I'm going to run through this for you. I think when we think of codependency, we think of people that just want to rely on people, need to be around people, can't be alone. But that's not really what codependency can end up being. It can actually be very independent people, people that don't know how to communicate feelings or emotions or connect with others, but still somehow end up in these codependent relationships. And it can be a cycle, and it comes from a couple of different things. We're going to go through that. This is a big list, and if you want to see more, I am going to put it on the show notes and my website, youarecovered.com. And this is just some things to throw out, and so I'm sorry if it's like a little convoluted, but these are some reasons for codependency, and you know, maybe you might feel like, oh, my childhood has nothing to do with this. That's totally okay. It might not be, but it's also good to be aware of. So a chaotic or unpredictable household can result in codependency in adulthood. Unsupportive parents and siblings. So if they don't agree with your life choices and then all of a sudden they just decide to not support you in your life, that can be really painful. And so that can create codependency or a sense of just not knowing how to handle relationships. Scary or abusive childhood, neglectful, a parent that just wasn't there for you. Manipulative behavior. So any kind of parent that communicated with a lot of emotional manipulation, too harsh of punishments. This can be really common, I think, in very conservative circles, when punishment is just really strict. You don't have the emotional space to process or talk about emotions and have like a relationship with the parent. I can see that happening a lot. Shaming a child. So any kind of shame that you've experienced when you're growing up, denying that there aren't any problems. I think that I usually say this, like no family is past being crazy unless they think that they're not crazy, because we are all broken people. And so when a family system thinks that they are the model family, that is dangerous in itself. And so denying that there are any problems can be very detrimental to your mental health and into adulthood. Refusing any outside help. Sometimes that happens a lot when there's a mental illness in the family or addictions. Keeping secrets can also stem from that. A feeling that's very judgmental or critical that can also create this place where you're not able to communicate properly, and then expecting everything to be perfect. So all those things kind of stem into codependency in adulthood. I will, again, have this list somewhere. You'll find it. It'll be in the show notes somewhere. Codependent behavior. What does it look like when it comes to behavior? Being the caretaker all the time, people pleasing, saying no to everything, just having strict boundaries because where you grew up, they were so rigid and strict towards you. So you find yourself saying no to everything and being unrealistic with your boundaries. And then on the flip side, saying yes to everything, having no boundaries and having a hard time standing up for yourself. You also struggle with fear. Maybe your childhood was scary. And now you have intense fear over things that you shouldn't. And that's why you have anxiety. Maybe you have insomnia, nightmares. You're afraid of being alone. Trust issues. You were let down a lot and now you can't trust anyone. So you think that anyone in your life who cares is faking it and you cannot trust them. Problems with control. Some forms of codependency can be extremely controlling. It may be that you felt like your life was out of control, and that's something to work through maybe in counseling or journaling and doing some codependency workbooks. I think it's like so helpful. Taking on too much, you may feel like you have a lot of responsibility, and that is significantly connected to your value and your worth. Feeling like you don't like help. So if someone helps you, you feel very vulnerable. You don't like it. And since you can't trust anyone, everything needs to be done alone. That is very common. And you can kind of flip from side to side and you can see how there's two extremes, right? I need people, can't be alone, or I'm very independent. I don't need people and I need to not communicate with people. Signs of a codependent person, having a hard time pinpointing your feelings and emotions, communicating in relationships is often very difficult for you. Valuing other people's approval rather than your own, poor self-esteem, not trusting others, not trusting yourself, fear of abandonment, need for approval, depend on relationships, feel responsible for others' actions, have a hard time setting boundaries, reactive to everything around you, reactive to other people's feelings as well, wanting to feel needed, having high amounts of need for control, and also being used to high stress levels. So having like a high stress level job and feeling like that's normal. Having a lot of intimacy problems that can start with emotional and then can lead to physical if you're married. Denial. I like this one that is in the list. It's just like the denial of codependency is just the last one there. Types of codependency. This can happen with an addict. It can happen in a romantic relationship. It can happen with your child. It can happen with a parent, a friend, or a boss. And I think that these are just so important to be aware of. And something that I really think is important, especially for women, is to two things. Okay. So the first thing is to learn how to communicate assertively. That this doesn't mean having an accusatory language. It means assertiveness. It doesn't mean being bossy or like, I don't know what the other terms could be, that if you are more assertive or strong in your communication style, that sometimes looked down as a negative thing for women. And I don't want you to feel that way. I think that there's a definite way to be assertive, and it can be very powerful, and it's needed to break the trends of codependency. And maybe all you need to do is see where you feel that. Like, where are those friendships, those relationships that are causing anxiety, where you feel like you don't want to need that person, or you feel like you absolutely need that person in your life to function. Those are some unhealthy relationships. And so looking at those anxiety patterns and figuring out, how do I end up being dependent on myself in a healthy way, dependent on others in a healthy way? Because we were created to, in a healthy way, connect with people and rely on them in a healthy community. But sometimes that can go wrong. And so recognizing that is so important. Assertive communication, there's some reasons why this is really helpful. It protects your needs. It builds trust. It prevents stress. It prevents conflict. And it promotes confidence and satisfying relationships. So when you know that you can communicate in a healthy way that's not going to create conflict or defensiveness, you will continue to do that. And part of that might be getting out of certain relationships or having some distance with family. And maybe it'll just be for a season, right? But you need to know how to communicate in a healthy way and talk about your emotions and your feelings so that you are not dependent or codependent on others in an unhealthy way. Note where you have trouble with being assertive. Recognize your feelings. Ask for what you want and use I statements. I think this is really good. So instead of saying, I want you to stop being so mean and rude to me, say, I want to be treated with kindness. So focus on you, because you're the only one that can change you. You can't control the other person. You can't change the other person. And so focusing on statements that are only owning up to your own responsibility is so crucial. So instead of saying, I feel that you don't care about me, say, I feel lonely and disconnected from you. So instead of saying like, this is your fault, you're doing this, put it back on you. Like, I'm feeling this way. And obviously it's because of the other person, because you're in a relationship. But being able to talk about, hey, this is affecting me, and talk about the way that it's affecting you, how it makes you feel, because you can only control you. And then the other person will say, oh, wow, I'm actually hurting this person. And if it's a healthy relationship, they'll want to fix it, right? And they're not going to get defensive, because they're like, oh, this is actually affecting you so much. And so assertive communication will promote healthy relationships. And using the I statements in conflict is really, really helpful. Practice these things with people you trust. Don't do this with people that you have a hard time with right off the bat. Like, communicate with healthy friendships, people that you know are going to handle it well, and talk about your feelings and how people make you feel. Talk about your emotions. Be specific. I always think that, you know, if you can't point out two specific events that you're hurt by, then you need some time before talking to that person. Always give specific instances when you're doing conflict. Like, talk about two or three things at the very max. Maybe it's one thing that you talk to that person about. Hey, I felt this way and I feel this way again, you know, like, focus on you, right? Be specific. Okay. And then pay attention to your own body language. Don't cross your arms, right? But still have a power stance. Like, be confident in what you're communicating. A power stance usually is when you are standing and you have your feet planted, and you might take up a little bit more room. Just sit up tall and stand tall when you're communicating. Be assertive. And then the last thing is, keep calm. Always keep calm. You can say your emotions without expressing them. Like, you can say that you're anxious or that you're angry, and you can just say it. You don't have to express it with an emotion. I'm so angry. You know, you don't have to go there. You can say, I'm angry, and this is why. So I hope that is helpful. This is just a small intro, okay? So there's a lot of things that you can do. There's so many great codependency workbooks that you can work on, and you can just read more about. I'm such a proponent on reading about your own mental health and learning. There's so many great resources out there, and I hope this podcast is just one of them and that I can point you to other people and other books and other things that will really help you on your journey to like learning more about yourself, learning more about who you are, who God wired you to be, and how you are in relationships, and breaking some family habits, some family things that, you know, maybe they haven't allowed you to really talk about your own feelings and emotions. And so you find yourself not trusting people because you're not able to appropriately, in a healthy way, communicate your needs, your emotions, your feelings, and, really talk to someone in a way that is connecting and not being codependent. So anyways, I hope that's helpful. It's just a small intro. I think it was helpful for me to even research this, and I'll put these lists out on the show notes or the blog. So go to youarecovered.com. I am so tired. So I am going to get this podcast out, and I will talk to you next week in the next episode. Thank you so much for being here. Again, you can always subscribe, and you can always follow me on social media, Hannah Lynn Miller, or You Are Covered Podcast on all platforms. Thanks so much, guys. God's got you, and you are covered. Be blessed.